10:39, whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. And the standard explanation of this saying of Jesus is, if we try to save or find our life in this world, we'll lose it. And so we'll miss out on the eternal life that Jesus offers us. But if we lose our life in this world, that is, we believe in and follow Jesus, then we'll find real life in Jesus Christ and be with him forever. So that's the main idea of the passage. But I suggested last week that Jesus sometimes invites us to linger with his sayings. And maybe he is saying more than just one thing. So in that lingering, or out of that lingering, came a consideration of two stages or states of life: getting your life together and giving your life away, finding your life and losing your life. Now, we cannot lose something that we haven't yet found, so there's a sense in which finding your life comes before giving your life away. Okay. First you get your life together, then you give your life away. But as I said last week, it's not that simple. Sometimes you have given your life away, blessed other people, and you're exhausted. You need to rest. You need to recover. You need to get your life together again for a while so that you can do that. So that diagram of states and stages kind of shows that the two things exist, but they interact, and it depends on where you are at any time. I mentioned also how Wendy and I, having come back from Myanmar, are pretty exhausted, so we're spending some time now to get our lives back together, and God willing, can give them away again. And even when you're getting your life together, you're still kind of giving your life away and blessing others as well, so a little bit messy. Last week, I introduced the idea of a life purpose. Hopefully, some of you have thought about that over the week. And I said that I would share the current version of my life purpose. So here it is. It's very short. It is to make a difference. That may not make much sense to you, but I understand it because I understand all the things that lie behind it. And that short phrase has shaped my life, or shape my choices over the last 20 years or so. So I do encourage you to write down for yourself your life purpose. As it currently is, it's probably going to change, but for now, what is it? Okay, so that's my encouragement. And in a practical sense, your life purpose should help you answer this big question of life is, why am I here? Yeah. Someone said to you, why are you here? What would you say? And the way you answer this question will reflect the person that God has made you to be. And God has made us all different, so there's no reason to expect we'll all have exactly the same life purpose. So, practically, your life purpose will reflect your spiritual gifts and your natural abilities. It will reflect your personality. It will reflect the season, the kairos of your life. If you've got young children, then that defines your life to some extent, you know, and there's things you can and can't do in that season. So our life purpose reflects our gifts, our abilities, our personality, and the season of life that we're in. So that's the summary. Now, the third stage of life. Stage three is giving your death away, or you could call it dying well. First thing, every one of us here today is going to die. Right? That's how it is. By God's grace, we do not know when that will happen, and it in fact would be a curse to know when that's going to happen. But we all will die. Not a morbid comment, just a reality. Henry Nouwen suggests that at a certain point in our lives, the real question is no longer what can I still do so that my life makes a contribution. He suggests the question becomes, how can I now live so that my death will be a true blessing for my family, my church, and the world? How can we give our death away? Does that even make sense? Well, there is such a thing as a good death. And to some extent, we are responsible for the way we die. And usually, the way we die reflects the way we've lived. You know, it's just how it works. We don't have any choice about dying, but we do have choice regarding how we might die. Here's two choices. One, you can hold on to life as long as possible, fight it, fight dying vigorously, and it may seem like death is a failure. Or, when our time has come, we can freely let go of life and die well. Death is not a failure. Death, from a Christian point of view, is really closer to the beginning of things than the end of things. Okay, what have I got there? I've said that, I think. How we die reflects how we have lived. If I live in bitterness and unforgiveness, then that is what people will feel at my funeral. If I live in graciousness and forgiveness, and if I'm willing when my time has come to decrease so that others might increase, then my death may well be a blessing to other people. The Welsh poet Dylan Thomas wrote a poem about the death of his father. And in the poem, there's a chorus that repeats itself, and it goes like this. Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. And I've seen some people rage and fight against death, certain that God will heal them. This is surprisingly common among Christian people in Myanmar, that when they learn of a serious illness, they pursue with vigor everything that they could possibly do to stay alive. Medicine, prayer, chemotherapy, radiation, yeah. And what happens is a few people are healed and most die. Maybe a little bit later, and many families end up in financial difficulty as a result. Now, best Wendy and I can do is, there's a cultural thing going on here that we don't quite understand. But it, you know, you look at it and it's just a bit troubling, at least as I looked at it, it was. And even if we are healed, we're still going to die sometime. So tricky. Tricky thing to talk about it, and I feel a bit awkward as well, but we don't talk about it very much, and I think we should. So, why might people, to use Dylan Thomas's words, rage against the dying of the light? I can offer you three reasons, and there are probably more. Number one, if you do not believe in Jesus Christ, if there is no eternal life with God, then I understand why you will fight against death, because this life is all there is. Number two, a friend said this to me recently. He said, we are often more afraid of dying than we are afraid of death. And sometimes it's the process of dying that we fear, not the death itself. I understand those. I'd like to add what I think is a more significant reason for fighting against death. And that reason is what I've called lost opportunities. It goes like this. If I die, obviously there are things that I can't do anymore. I can't do things for my pleasure, like take overseas trips and eat out for dinner. I can't do things to bless other people either. I can't give my life away for others if I'm dead. So we want to stay alive to address those potentially lost opportunities that we might have. I think death can be seen as a gift. Would you want to live for 100,000 years on this planet? If golf was my passion, which it's not, after 100,000 years of playing golf, I think I'd be over it. The French have an excellent word for this. It's called ennui. It means boredom. A feeling of weariness and dissatisfaction. You know, I think my suggestion is that death can be seen as a gift. An untimely death, probably not, but in general, a gift. So there are good reasons and good intentions for wanting to live longer, and some of us will die earlier than we had hoped or expected, and some will live longer than we thought we might. That's just how it is. So there's my thoughts, but not many answers. Let me go to the Bible. The Apostle Paul, Philippians chapter 1, 21 to 24. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. So Paul desired to be with Christ, better than this life in his view. But then he wisely added that he would gladly stay for the sake of others. And that should be our reason to stay, for others, not for ourselves. And sometimes we don't have much choice. So how we die requires wisdom and courage. How we die reflects how we have lived. I came across a very different statement to what Dylan Thomas said about raging against the dying of the light. This is from Dallas Willard. And he said, slightly modified, "I am a created spiritual being with an eternal destiny in God's great universe." That's who we are. Much bigger than this life. This is a perspective that shouts about a future hope beyond this life, beyond this planet. So death, for us as followers of Jesus, is not the end. Okay? We know that. But I've talked about it and feeling a bit awkward myself in the process. And we don't hear many messages about death. And yet it's quite common. And we don't talk much about how we might die well. Because you can. So a question that I leave with you is this. How can my death be a blessing to other people? How can my death be a blessing to other people? Okay. This is Meredith. She and her husband, Jonathan, have three children and have been serving with International Student Ministries, or called ISM, in Nelson for about 15 years. They took a one-year sabbatical a few years ago to work on the family farm. Try that again. To work on the family farm. And they spent a year together as a family before the children started to leave home and do their own things. 3.5 years ago, at the age of 47, during that sabbatical, Meredith learned that she had cancer. She had some treatment, her health improved, and it looked like she was clear, but the cancer returned. In June this year, she was interviewed on the 21 Elephants podcast, which was titled Before I Go. Worth listening to. Wendy and I have had a listen to it, where she talks candidly about her journey with cancer. You just Google 21 Elephants and it'll appear. 2 weeks ago, on Facebook, Meredith posted this. Well, I'm still here. My body gets weaker, but my mind gets sharper. I'm reliant on so much care now, so much I cannot do for myself anymore. Wonderfully, no pain, but a deep fatigue and weakness. The nurses look at my weakness and loss of condition and say, a couple of weeks? Then I see it's only 2 weeks to my art exhibition, set-up day, and I think, surely I'll make it to that. I should have mentioned that Meredith is an artist, and this is her exhibition, which opens this coming Wednesday in Nelson. On Saturday, a week ago, Meredith's husband Jonathan sent this message. Meredith died in our arms after a wonderful life. She woke from a snooze and was unable to get comfortable, was restless, and clearly over her 3.5 year battle with cancer. Ainsley, the youngest daughter, and I prayed, Jesus, give her peace, give her peace, give her peace. And within seconds, she was free of that cancer-ridden body. And then he added this picture and explained it, that 2 hours before Meredith died, a last ice cream with the family at Pohara Beach in the arms of the one she loved. Toes in the sand, watching the sunset across Golden Bay toward Baynham from where she came. So much sadness, yet this was a good death. Meredith and her family did not rage against the dying of the light. She went gently into that good night and is now with Christ. Only her 50th year, untimely. She did seek treatment for cancer, and when it was no longer working, she accepted that. So a good death that followed from a life well lived and a life often lived for others. Final comment. That up the top is Meredith's email address, meredith.his.creative. Jonathan explained that she believed that in belonging to God, her purpose, maybe like her life purpose that we've been talking about, was to reflect God's creativity in her life and art. He concluded, she has left enough marks around the place that she will be remembered, and we pray that her legacy will continue to bring glory to God, her creator, long beyond her time. So death, the third stage, at a time that thankfully is unknown to us, we will die. And hopefully it will be a good death, a death that is a blessing to others. So I'll try and bring things together. That's where we started. Whoever finds their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. If we try to to save and find our life in this world, we'll lose it and we'll miss out on the eternal life that Jesus offers. But if we lose our life in this world, that is, if we believe in and follow Jesus, we'll find real life in Christ and be with him for eternity. And so I showed you those three stages or states of life, what it might mean to get your life together and find it, what it might mean to give your life away, bless other people, that is to lose it, and what it might mean to give your death away and to die well. So I have two questions. First question, where are you right now? Are you more in state one, getting your life together, or more in state two, giving your life away? They're both okay. It's not better to be in one or the other. But if you say, well, I'm in this state, then that would have certain implications about how you might live. That's my first question. Which one are you in now? Second question, will you die a good death? How might you wisely prepare for that? Now, this is for everyone, because no one quite knows when they're going to die. Be prepared. And after this life we have is ended, we enter the presence of Christ. And all of these things will be gone. So, I hope that these thoughts will help each of you, each of us, myself included, to be mindful of our life purpose so that we may not just kind of drift through this precious life we've been gifted with. So I'd like to close with some encouraging words from C.S. Lewis. Nature is mortal. We shall outlive her. When all the suns and stars have passed away, each one of you will still be alive. Nature is only the image, the symbol, but it is the symbol Scripture invites me to use. We are summoned to pass in through nature, beyond her, into that splendor which she fitfully reflects. And in there and beyond nature, we shall eat of the tree of life. Let's pray. God our Father, we trust you. Help us to trust you when life is not working out how we had hoped for. Jesus our Savior, we thank you for coming to this earth for us so that we may have eternal life with you. Holy Spirit, ever invisibly present, may we be sensitive to your gentle guidance at all times. Amen. Questions, thoughts?
Excuse me. Why do we die?
I can't quite hear you, Jeffrey. Oh, Levi, sorry.
Why do we die?
Why do we die? It's a good question. It's the way we're made. We are made to live on this planet, like plants die, animals die, and so we have a finite time. Why? It's like all I can say is it's God's design, God's good design. Thank you. It's not really not an easy thing to talk about. No.
When it comes to dying, you know, some people are just waiting for somebody to die because they've been an absolute nuisance in life.
No one particular in mind? Or?
I mean, like multiple murders or something, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Agree? And what would your answer be?
Well, to be in relationship. Why we were created.
So that?
Well, that's the fulfillment of God's plan.
Yeah.
That question was asked of our safety, that you will not surely die.
Sorry, the question... Yeah, it wasn't true. I mean, there's a real sense in which dying, difficult and painful as it can be for the person themselves and for others around them, it is an entry for us who believe into something that far exceeds what we're experiencing now. Doesn't mean you should hasten it, but... Yeah.
I think we should challenge the idea of going into the night. There's many near-death experiences, people talk of going into the light. And as Christians, that is definitely where we're going.
Yeah.
Into the light.
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
How about that being to be bigger and better than that?
Yeah. Good comment. Thank you. Were you going to... Yeah, and that's reasonable.
And I think, John, too, for that question about dying, when Lazarus died, and he delayed going to raise him from the dead, and he actually said, he hasn't died, he's asleep. So having a death to a Christian...
Mm. Yeah. Though Lazarus had to die again.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah. At least he knew what he was looking
for. I think the Lord used that, you know, as a proof that he has the power, not only has the power.
Yeah. Okay. Philip.
I just think it probably also begs the question, you know, as you said, 1,000 years playing golf, I think probably 10 years would be enough for me. But,
I said 100,000, actually.
I think as well, it probably begs the question, what does eternity look like that doesn't end up with that same sense of ennui that's,
yeah.
Oh, you know, eternity doing what?
Yeah. Does.
But to touch on it at some point might be fun.
It would be. Yeah. A sermon on heaven. Yeah.
Another aspect too, of course, is that and you've been, me and my own have been under great stress for many, many years, and they know what it is to face death. Was we sit here comfortably and wrapped in cotton wool, and
yes.
We have no idea. Saturated with death, with wars, with martyrs, and many Christian, Muslim, and all the others have faced death heroically because of their faith.
Yeah.
And haven't run from it, have faced it, and said, this is okay. We have no concept of that. I have no concept of that.
Actually, that's a helpful idea. I think maybe part of what I'm trying to say is that we should be willing to face death and not run away from it. Yeah? Not so much welcome it, but just face it. Yeah, agree. Good comp. Thanks, Peter.
Time, because the days are evil,
Yeah. It's a big word, brevity, but it's a good word. Yes.
So just getting back to that, Jesus said that not to eat from the tree of life. So we sin, but I think the big question that you asked earlier about why are we here, because I pondered a bit on that this week as well, and my answer to that was that we need to answer those questions, and as Christians we have that answer. Why are we here? Where did I come from and where are we going? And I think the other big one too is why is there suffering? But the other one is, what is the solution? As Christians, we have the answer. And I think, you know, the answer is one word, Jesus.
Mm.
And, you know, as Christians, we need to tell others about the message of salvation. Mm. Because how is sin dealt with? Somebody had to die.
Mm. Yeah, we do well to live out the hope that we have before others so that they can see it and hear it from us. Okay, thank you. Finish.